This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. How are you, man?
Man, I am doing good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm exhausted, you know? It's been just a heck of a few weeks here, and we're rocking and rolling. Had a great International Pipe Smoking Day.
Yeah.
Just event and lots of great sales. So it's always so fun to put these special shiny new pipes into people's hands, right? Everyone waits for this time of year a lot of times to get their favorite new briar or new cob or something. And it's just been a lot of fun to see folks. They'll email in pictures or tweet in pictures and say, "Man, I just picked up this great piece from you." And so excited! A lot of green St. Patty's Day pipes going around. That's been fun. And man, it's just it's a fun time of year. Yeah, very busy, and doggone it, it's cold. It's just cold.
It's below freezing right now, right?
Well, it's close, yeah. But I think tonight it's going to get back down to 25.
That's
which
insane.
You know, we got this polar super vortex or whatever. You know, one of those things that the 12-year-old boy named like a super duper polar vortex thing. And it's just a cold day, but doing okay.
Good,
yeah,
man.
Well, what's up with you, man?
Oh, just getting ready for the big move. We've sold our house. I think I can go ahead and say that.
Yeah,
so
no, that's
very
right.
Excited.
Yeah.
We've purchased a new house in Texas. We actually the studio that we're currently recording in, I actually just got done selling that as well. So we're recording on borrowed
everything's for sale. Golly.
Yeah, everything must go.
What about this shirt? No, I don't want to buy that shirt. You'd have to pay me to take that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But it is. You know, I think it's with kind of for those that are unaware. Yeah, I'm moving to Texas. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, and very excited about it. And of course, with the move, there are going to be a few changes, but nothing too terribly major to the show itself. The main thing for our live audience.
Yeah.
Is over the next couple of weeks. Next week will be kind of a big week. It'll be the last show of Bo and John David in Jackson, Mississippi together.
Well, yeah, I mean, together here on a regular basis. Surely we'll have
There'll be special occasions here, there. We'll sell tickets. It'll be great. But in terms of,
That's code for we'll pay homeless people to come, pretend like they're audience members.
Well, we only had to do that five times.
I know.
One way or the other, next week will be my last week in Jackson, and so we'll do a live show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got a Squire Select geared up for it that I'm really excited about.
Yep.
And that'll be a blast. Now, following that show, we've got a lot of things happening. For one thing, John David has an anniversary. I've got a big move. So for a time, there will be no live show. Now, of course, there will be a podcast, so be sure to check out the podcast for those of you that just listen or watch on YouTube. And as far as the live show returning, there's some technical things that we're going to have to work out.
Yeah.
And it's not just, I should mention this too, it's not just because of the move to Houston. There are also... So I don't know, long-time listeners may remember this, or at least long-time live viewers may remember this. There was a time period where we could not broadcast on YouTube. Do you recall this? This is like 2 or 3 years ago.
No, I've forgotten that.
All right, so what had happened was the way that Google Hangouts Live, basically the back end that we use for actually doing the streaming on YouTube, they kind of took that down. They introduced a new system, which we tried very, very hard to work with.
Yeah, I remember that now.
And for whatever reason, we were not approved, or they would not allow us to stream through their system, or I can't even quite remember because it's been so long. But fortunately, they went back and kind of said, "Hey, if you like the old system, you can still do it on the old system.
Yeah.
If you want the new system, you get on the new system." Well, as I understand it, Google Hangouts is it looks like they keep on saying they're going to roll it back, and now it actually does look like they're going to roll it back.
Okay.
So
we've got that one more hiccup to kind of get through.
Yeah, I mean,
that was really kind of delayed a couple of years ago, I guess.
Might as well pile on right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like in the midst of everything else that we're trying to
great.
Get all worked out.
Let's pick up all these extra wrenches we can find and
that's
throw
right.
them in the gears that is the life
that
of
is Bo, Country Squire
of Bo York and John David Cole.
That's what they're trying to do. But anyway, all that to say, all right. So I'll just go ahead and say it. So when we return the 2 weeks after next week, so in I guess three or so weeks, we may be returning to Facebook Live.
Okay.
We may be broadcasting on Facebook Live.
Okay.
Now, I know. Many of you don't like Facebook.
Yep.
And I hear that. I understand that.
Yeah, and as life goes on, I'm joining your camp. if that is true for you, I'm very much joining your camp. But yeah.
I can't stand Facebook. But regardless, after having said that, we'll be on Facebook Live. Because some people
maybe.
Do like Facebook.
Probably, yeah.
And, you know, assuming that the technology all works out, we're set up for it. So that's all that to say, we do want to make sure that we do have some kind of live show that's occurring as we kind of make some adjustments. There will be YouTube content. There will be, you know, talking heads and that sort of thing. And ideally, there will be the show returning to YouTube in a more, you know, live fashion.
Yeah.
We just got to figure it out. But one way or the other, we've always figured it out in the past. And
we're here.
We're still here.
We're here. And we're excited. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Bo and I, we were discussing our next few months of, you know, activity and content. We're just, I don't know, a lot of really exciting things on the horizon. So we're very much considering this just an opportunity to carry on what we've started, and we're fired up.
We got some fun shows we'll be announcing next week that I think a lot of y'all are going to get really hyped about. Speaking of getting really hyped, man, I'm really hyped because, ladies and gentlemen, we have now joining us in the International Country Squire Radio Hype Club as a new Squire member, Miss Christina Young.
Well, Christina, is that Christian?
Oh.
I think it's Christian
Mr.
Young.
Christian Young. You know what's funny is actually, my wife's name is Christina.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever said that on the show.
I don't think you have, intentionally.
I tend to not do that. But I'll say it just from this standpoint, because a lot of times I end up reading Christian and Christina the exact same.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this about me. I'm dyslexic.
Yeah, no, it's come up a time or two. Yeah.
Christian, welcome. Welcome as a Squire member.
Absolutely.
We're so glad to have you.
We are very grateful. Very grateful.
And then also shout out to Alan York, no relation.
No relation that you know of.
That I'm aware of, who is also supporting us at the Patreon level.
And that's good.
If you're listening right now, if you want to make sure that you get this show on a weekly basis, help support it, make it happen, we cannot encourage you enough to head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where if you become a club member, you get a lot of great perks. If you become even just a patron, you get access to our full archive of 100 episodes waiting with your name on them, metaphorically. So be sure to do that. patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Y'all are awesome for doing it. And shout out to Alan and to Christian.
Man, that's great.
I can't believe that's fine.
It's good. Well, I mean, it's a little confusing because, you know, Alan had, he shares your last name, and then, you know. Christian kind of next to Alan there, you know, you wanted to kind of superimpose your wife's name.
That's right.
And that's good.
She supports the show in her own way.
No, that's, yes. Yes, she does.
All right, man. We have got a wonderful topic. In fact, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, you mentioned it's cold outside. It's a little windy outside.
Yeah. It is. I'm just reminded, I think I mentioned this before, why do we sing Baby It's Cold Outside in December when that song is tailor-made for February?
Well, to be fair, past December, the big question was, why do we sing that song at all?
At all, right? Yeah. No, that's right. yeah, but it's cold, it's windy, and, you know, we do like to talk about pipe shapes occasionally, and that can be a lot of fun. And so we thought we'd revisit the topic of shapes and bring out the old windshield pipe, right?
Oh, yes, the old windshield pipe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is. It's a, you talk about, you bring out that old mid-Atlantic accent or whatever, but it is. It's an old-fashioned curiosity. It's like, where did this come from? What is it? And you see one, and if you're not familiar with pipe history or the pipe world, you're kind of, it's a little off-putting. It's like, man, that's that's strange, you know? And if you Google windshield pipe, I love this. You know, you'll see a few Dunhills, which we'll talk about shortly, but you also find, you know, several pictures of windshields that have been impaled by metal pipes.
Ooh.
And it's like, well, that's not really what we're talking about.
That happens a lot in the pipe world, though.
Well, it does because there's all these things that are, you know,
four pipes
and you know, but the greater Googleverse doesn't understand, and so you find this absurd content online. But so you know, there are a bunch of odd shapes out there with pipes, right? We've talked about, you know, the roly pipe that kind of has the stem that pivots over the opposite direction of the bowl, so you can put it in your jacket pocket. The opera pipe, which is an oval shaped bowl, so it's just fits nicely in your tuxedo pocket. You know, for those of us that still go to the opera, Zeppelin pipes. right, which are basically cigar-shaped pipes where, you know, you can, you know, poke the tobacco in there, put it together, and then light it almost like a cigarette or a cigar. There's weird shapes like the hawkbill pipe. You know, we've got a pipe that, you know, it's almost like a ball, and then the stem comes up where it's basically level with the top of that ball,
the
and so it's just got this interesting. Yeah, we ought to talk about that
yeah,
sometime.
Yeah, I'm making a note of that one.
Shape and there's weird shaped pipes too, like the double, you know, the double chambered pipes, or even pipes that have two stems on them, or maybe pipes with one stem but two boreholes. You know, just all this weird stuff. Well, you know, a lot of this kind of the genesis in my mind of a lot of these things go back to, you know, the windshield pipe, right? Why wouldn't you want a or why would you not want to live in a world where there's a pipe with this large, you know, fin on the front of it? Think like, you know, 1950s Buick or something. You know, it's got these huge fins off of it, but this one's actually kind of functional, right? And it it's innovative in its own way. So yeah, just really interesting. The windshield pipe, the innovation of it does go back to the earliest days of modern pipe making. Invented by Dunhill in 1904, there is such a interesting flyer. I'm sitting here losing my glasses, and I have to put them on so I can read this. There's such an interesting flyer that you can find on Dunhill. Can you imagine now? You're just a normal pipe smoker. You're living at the turn of the 20th century, and then you get this bizarre flyer in the mail. It says a joy to outdoor smokers. Dunhill's patent shield pipe, it is indispensable to the cyclist, the sportsman, the yachtsman, the automobilist, and the billiard player. yeah, because you need your windshield pipe when you're playing billiards.
Yeah, the windy billiards game.
No, that's right. That's right. It is indeed a boon and comfort to every pipe smoker. It costs no more than an ordinary pipe, and every bowl is warranted not to burn or crack. And then, of course, you have this picture of this beautiful Dunhill billiard shaped pipe.
Like a sketch of one.
And it's a sketch, right? You know, we're talking about 1904 here. But then there's this, you know, there's this curiosity. Can you imagine getting this? And then there's this, you know, there's this billiard pipe that kind of has this fin on the front of it. It's a large sliver that's kind of sticking up higher on the front side of the pipe than on the backside. So, and this is your first introduction to the idea of a windshield pipe. And you're like, man, the world's changing. You know, we just went from, you know, buggy whips to the you know, combustible engine, and now we're you know, talking about getting into World War I here. And man, you're throwing these you know, these pipes with these, you know, large shield things on them. What, you know, just slow down, world, slow down.
Wow.
But that's kind of where we're at. So really interesting. You know, they you know, came out about this you know, really. When Dunhill did debut this, it predated their identity as a pipe maker. Okay, now let's think about that, right?
Huh,
Dunhill, yeah. Very old company. I mean, we're talking about either late 1880s or early 1890s. And you know, the windshield pipe, it predates. They didn't even open their first tobacco and pipe shop until 1906, and this is a 1904 invention. And so you got to remember, at the time, Alfred Dunhill, you know, he inherited this business that was basically a harness business for horses. Okay, so that's how Dunhill got started.
Isn't that crazy?
Nowadays, you get online and you Google, you know, Alfred Dunhill, and you'll find all these, you know, fancy men wearing cardigans and stuff, or leather handbags that are made of, you know, endangered porpoise blubber or some crap. But you know, like, but Dunhill, it started as a harness company for horses. Now, Alfred was smart, and we've talked about this in the history of Dunhill before. But he realized with the advent of the automobile that, you know, there was going to be a real luxury market in the 1890s for driving accessories for cars. And so he very strategically started to pivot the you know, force of his company from you know, horse and carriage accessories into automobile accessories,
right,
driving
yeah.
accessories, right? Imagine you know, you've got this luxury brand that's focused around accessories, but it's for the modern driver, which then was a new thing, right?
It shows just how much he understood his industry. Because, I mean, like, you know, we've talked
gosh.
About this before as well. But, you know, back in the day, I used to work for a telecom company. And we were working, we had this solution that we were going to kind of sell to newspapers as a way for them to drive more traffic to their website.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I had a meeting with a newspaper company that will remain nameless. And the guy almost ran me out of like his office on a rail. It said, he's like, you want to drive traffic to my website? We are a paper company. And I was like, oh, well, if you're a paper company, you're going to die.
and that's the last time y'all spoke.
But if you're a news company, then you're looking for every single avenue to get the story out and get the news out.
No,
and
that's
so
right.
You're not beholden to one thing. So that's you're in the transportation industry and the transportation accessory industry, that's smart thinking whenever it was.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, the world, again, we live in a very changing world, and the world is changing now as it was then, maybe at a different pace, but also, you know, it was very rapid. And so, you know, this guy, he had a very good finger on the pulse of what was going on, right? He saw the writing on the wall for, it goes back to the old, adage about the guy that made all the best buggy whips in the world, you know, mm-hmm. All of a sudden he doesn't have a place to peddle his wares because there's no more buggies to whip, right? And so, Dunhill, he was making these luxury driving accessories, and so the pipe fit into that because it went along with all his other things, right? It was very much meeting a very new need that, you know, some people realized wasn't even a need yet, or some people were probably even maybe initially confused, but then realized, oh wait, this would help me smoke my pipe while behind the wheel, which is just a kind of a fascinating thing. So it started to get to give Dunhill this reputation of innovation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Back from the very beginning, Dunhill had the concept of innovation, you know, shortly thereafter with the windshield pipe, they had, the steel inner tube on the inside of the pipe. This, you got to remember, this is a time before the advent or before common usage of pipe cleaners. And so, well, how do you keep the inside of your pipe clean? Well, you put a little, stainless steel tube on the inside of the shank and the stem. It keeps it real clean. And when it gets super dirty, you can either wash it out or replace it, right? And so, that's just one of those extra things of innovation that they came up with.
We need to revisit the pipe cleaner. When did that? I always just assumed in my head that one went hand in hand.
That's right. I mean, you would certainly think so. But think about, I mean, the pipe is one thing, right? We talk about, okay, well, you either, are smoking something out of clay or out of meerschaum or briar. But think about the modern, techniques of efficiently and cheaply, creating a small piece of wire covered in cotton and then distributing them, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not, today that sounds really easy, but, back in, 1890, that's a different conversation.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, just like anything. I mean, look at the history of, something as simple as Kleenex or toilet paper, things we just take for granted today. Toilet paper, that's a different podcast. But anyway, so, it gave this Dunhill, a reputation of innovation, even the white spot that has become synonymous with their logo, right? Well, how did that start? I mean, Dunhill, they had the name of their company stamped on the side of the pipe.
Spilled some vanilla ice cream. No, I'm just kidding.
They had the name of their, company stamped on the side of the bowl. Why would they need a white spot? It wasn't like that they needed a logo. Well, the white spot was, the purpose of it was so that you would know what direction to put your stem on. if the white spot needed to face up, and so it would tell you from the manufacturer standpoint that this was the upside of the stem, and so that's where the white spot came
from.
That's
crazy.
It's all very practical, which is kind of fascinating. So the pipe was an oddity in that sense that, okay, you've got this windshield pipe, this large kind of fin on the front of the pipe to protect it from the wind, but it's also a symbol of their innovations. Again, if you're not able to if you haven't seen a windshield pipe before, imagine a pipe bowl where the front of the pipe is much taller than the back of the pipe. And so you've got a kind of a step down style effect there, like the, almost a little plateau, and then it pivots, it steps down a little bit, and then the back of the bowl is much lower. And it therefore creates a shield to protect the top of your bowl from just long exposure to wind. That's the idea.
It's a two-level effect with a little path running through it. A path. I tell you what, man, I'll give somebody else another visual thing. Every single time I see a windshield pipe, you know what it makes me think of?
What?
Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, or specifically Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
Why?
I've made this reference before, but look, here, I'll throw up a picture for you, but everybody else knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, actually, I can see that. Yeah.
His lightsaber.
The little lip thing.
Yeah, had the kind of the lip thing that was going on where one side was kind of higher than the other.
Only a real fanboy would know that.
I'm waiting for somebody to develop a metal pipe that is styled off of Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, that looks exactly like if you had a metal windshield pipe. I'm not
wrong. Which I think there are some out there, actually, is kind of interesting. Yeah,
but like, that's what I want. I want to see that happen.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know, so the windshield effect on a pipe, this idea of putting the large chunk of briar on the top, you know, front part and letting it step down to the back, it, you know, originally was more common in billiards. You do see it occasionally in bulldogs, you know, Rhodesians. You know, pipes of different shapes, but most of these pipes are going to be straight pipes. This is a very old-fashioned, not very commonly used type of design on a pipe, but it's one of those that has its place in pipe history, and really in some ways is also the precursor to the modern wind cap. Right, you've got the a pipe that is able to protect it from the wind or the weather. Well, your wind cap does the same thing. So we're going to start manufacturing these little metal wind caps and either attach them to the top of the bowl like those German style Bavarian pipes, or the modern Dunhill. Or other brands, Sir Jacopo and others, they have created these integrated wind caps with this beautiful sterling silver, and they're hinged and have these little vents on the side and flippable, things that you can, open and close to tamp your pipe and all that type of thing. Even down the road, we saw the idea of a flippable, hinged, wind cap that's kind of integrated into the bowl itself.
Flippable, and so, hinged wind cap.
Yeah, so think about, if you've got a bowl, but then the bowl itself, the top of the bowl,
right,
actually shaved it to where it pivots. It's kind of hard to describe. It's almost got like an axle on there that it can pivot on. So just really interesting. It was it shows you, as simple as pipe smoking is, there's always been that one thing that's like, how do we make it more effective? How do we make it more appealing? How do we solve a problem that's there, right? And so this goes along with the same thing. We talk about the Peterson P-lip or the system pipe, or all those metal pipes that developed that we've talked about, like the Kirsten pipes that let's cool the smoke down with this chamber, or we've got all kinds of bizarre stingers and filters. These are all things that are taking a very simple concept, a wooden pipe with a hard rubber stem, and they're introducing new concepts to try to just try to make it a better experience maybe for some. And so is this a really popular design? Well, not really, but it is one of those things that I feel like, is in the pantheon of pipe history.
Oh, I like that. I like the pantheon of pipe history. You know, there is something very iconic about it. And I love how the Joy to Outdoor Smokers flyer that you're reading off of, and I've now shared on our Twitter handle for anybody that wants to go check that out. I love how they kind of define who their targeted clientele is. A yachtsman? Yeah, I could see a yachtsman even today.
A yachtsman? Like, yeah, he would smoke that. Or like an automobilist.
Yeah.
Which at the time was, if you're an automobilist, that was like being a yachtsman today, right?
You might as well just be a yachtsman.
Exactly.
But that's the thing, because like, I think about like a captain of a ship would have more of like a deep bend type of pipe, with like a big, robust bowl attached to it or something of that nature. Whereas this is more of that kind of like a Wolf of Wall Street type of, dude who's like rocking that. Now, in the flyer that you have, there's two different kinds. One, is more of like the straight bowl, where the other one is more of a bulldog with the shield. I don't think I've seen the first type in terms of like more modern pipes, that sort of thing. Yep. I don't think I've ever seen a bulldog.
A windshield pipe that was a bulldog.
Yeah.
It very, very uncommon. I've never seen one in person myself, actually. And so, you just wonder, like, how are they going to develop these types of things, and who would buy it? It kind of, just has a bizarre look to it, but it's one of those things that they wanted to create some, variation to, appeal to different tastes, and so they try their best to. So, really interesting. Over the years, of course, we've talked a lot about Dunhill in this episode, because Dunhill did invent the windshield pipe, but, it became maybe not quite a rite of passage, but also, but maybe a, I don't know, you know, really accomplished pipe makers would use this particular shape to show some of their skill. Think of kind of the blowfish. You know, we've talked about the blowfish shape before, and gosh, if you can perfectly execute a blowfish, like, you've kind of made it, you know. Well, with a windshield pipe, you know, you've got, you know, some of these, you know, higher-end pipe makers, they know they're not going to sell a lot of these things, but, you know, they are going to produce a few just to say, hey, look, look what I can do kind of deal. And that's, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know, designing anything. You know, one of these car companies that's going to, you know, do something just absolutely ridiculous. And they know that, you know, well, you're not going to probably sell a diamond encrusted tire, but, like, you know, I'm going to make one to show you that I can.
Yeah,
right?
Like that solid gold iPhone that existed for 2 seconds.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's funny, one of our vendors that I regularly order from just to get knick-knack supplies for the shop, they have in their catalog available for purchase a Zippo lighter, just a normal little Zippo lighter.
Yeah.
And the retail cost of it, this is the retail MSRP cost of the Zippo, is $15,000. And I, you know, every time I get on that little portal to look at some of their smoking accessories, I just kind of giggle and say, yeah, maybe next month, you know. But, you know, it's just, yeah, it's like, well, I'm going to buy a...
Is it diamond studded? What's going on there?
I can't remember. I think it's solid gold with some kind of gems on it. Yeah, but it's probably, you know, been treated with some kind of... you know,
it's got the Infinity Stones on it,
eagle feathers or something. It was, you know, from the collection of Abraham Lincoln, or who knows? Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, anyway, yes, his Zippo,
his personal Zippo, right? That he, you know, stole from the hands of Stonewall Jackson or something. Who knows?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. So, but you know, they're beautiful ones. We've seen a lot of artisans from Eastern Europe and America. The Danish school, you know, we talk about Danish pipes a lot. Beautiful Danish pipes. A lot of times they have they employ the use of exposed plateau and bark a little more often than our English and Italian counterparts. But, you know, you'll see these Danish pipes, sometimes they will leave a higher plateau on the front of the pipe than they will on the back of the pipe. And so it kind of, you know, the bark, that exposed plateau on the front, it'll almost, you know, kind of simulate the idea of a windshield pipe in a freehand style, which is kind of fascinating. So, but, you know, all that to say, we still think of Dunhill when we think of these pipes. And, you know, they're not particularly common, you know, even as a Dunhill dealer at the Squire, you know, it's not something easy to order or whatever, but, you know, but when we do see them, they're like, huh, yeah, they still make those. So.
Now I have to ask, I mean, the flyer that you're reading says patent, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not misreading that. Do they actually own a patent on it? Because I mean, I feel like I see non-Dunhill shield windshield pipes.
No, you do. Yeah, that's what we were just mentioning. You know, here's I found a beautiful one on one of the online retailers.
Right, but that's not
But that's not a Dunhill.
Well,
yeah.
And isn't that is that a manufacturer pipe right there?
No, this is an artisan pipe, right? So, you know, I don't know. I'm sure they have some kind of patent on it, or maybe did have a patent on it that, you know, expired or something, because they, you know, they obviously said that.
Or they're just not enforcing it.
Yeah, or maybe they can't. I don't know. But anyway, that's, yeah, that's kind of the idea. People, regardless, folks over the years have mimicked the style, and, you know, and it's just one of those things that maybe a premier carver artisan will kind of play with occasionally, just to say, hey, look what I got.
I tell you what, man, there's some artisan pipe carvers that I would love to see do some amazing things with a windshield if they wanted to, or if they could patent-wise. And of course, I'm talking about the artisanal, wonderful designers, developers, innovators in their own right over at Missouri Beer Shop.
No, that's right. That's right. Man, one thing, of course, that we love and we don't mention a lot are we do mention a lot freehand pipes on the show. We talked briefly about the opportunity of a freehand pipe maker to maybe leave some of that plateau on the front end of the pipe exposed a little differently than on the back end, and just make it a real interesting kind of windshield pipe there for the freehand style pipe. There are freehand style corn cobs, and a lot of folks don't know that. Yeah, but for a long time, Missouri Meerschaum has had a very popular line. It's a premium line. It's one of their more expensive pipes, but it certainly is worth the extra fee because it's just a real stunning pipe, and the quality of it is unmatched. The Freehand Corncob Pipe from Missouri Meerschaum retails for $34.99 and is a work of art in its own self. A deep conical-shaped bowl, dark stain coating, rusticated bowl, and Italian acrylic bit give this pipe a unique and distinctive appearance. Like other premium pipes, the Freehand has a genuine hardwood insert in the bottom of the bowl. Also available in an uncoated natural white cob or a natural red cob finish.
Oh, wow.
This pipe also serves as a memorable gift to discerning pipe collectors. As a collectible, the dark stain coated finish is also available on a Missouri red cedar plaque. See the product description for details. And so, it's cool. You can actually get this Freehand corncob pipe mounted on a plaque, which is kind of neat. It makes a great gift. But the Freehand cob, just really interesting. They've kind of it's a conical Dublin shaped style bowl. It's a large bowl with that hardwood bottom that they're so well known for. It's such high quality, and then they kind of rough up the top to simulate that that Danish style exposed plateau on there. So just a really beautiful pipe, a handsome pipe, and one of those that's good for a couple hours sitting on the porch.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I definitely think I prefer, for me personally, I like the black finish to it. I think it really pops. But hey, if you've got a Freehand corncob from Missouri Meerschaum, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture when you do. Tweet it into us. We love to retweet those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. We've actually got a pipe question of the week that is Missouri Meerschaum related. This is coming in from Daniel. He says, I recently went on a day trip to Mississippi's own Bay St. Louis.
Whoa.
It was a still morning, and I was able to have a pleasant smoke on the beach. But as I was tamping, I dropped my Missouri Meerschaum pipe into the water. Is there any way I can still smoke it? Has the Mississippi Gulf Coast water ruined it forever? Any help will be appreciated. Thank you. And again, that is from Daniel.
If you dropped it in the water in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, take your pipe, burn it, and bury it in the backyard.
But get a hazmat suit first.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. We're not known for having the most beautiful Gulf beaches due to the Mississippi Sound. We have a barrier island out there. And so, our beaches in Mississippi, although we have great seafood and all that kind of stuff, they're not as pretty as areas where they don't have those barrier islands out there. So,
and while all the fish are good eating fish, they are some of the ugliest fish you'll ever see.
Yeah, they're gnarly.
It is bizarre to go fishing down that outlet. Right,
no, it
there.
Is, man. It is. I love the Mississippi Gulf Coast. It's beautiful down there. The water's just, it's not quite as pretty as some of our other Gulf Coast counterparts there. But smoke it, clean it out. It's a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. So certainly if you dried it out quickly, the water won't have hurt it too badly. The thing is, there may be some kind of bacteria or something that can get in that pipe. So I would maybe take some high, grain alcohol or maybe even some isopropyl alcohol and scrub that pipe out really good just to make sure you get anything out of there that that might be creeping around. So otherwise, the good thing about having a Missouri Meerschaum pipe or any pipe that's inexpensive is that, if it's a pipe that is still in good shape, put it up on the shelf and enjoy the aesthetic of it and go get you another one. Which would be good. So I don't think the Gulf Coast water probably ruined it forever, but I'd probably give it a pretty good cleaning.
All right, so let me ask you this. would the bag of rice trick help at all?
Well, really with the rice, you're talking about put like when you drop your smartphone into water and
exactly.
Then you put it in there and it'd be worth a shot. I think that's more, to dry it out, essentially. I think the cob would probably dry out pretty easily. But I have no experience, to be honest with you, dropping a corncob pipe into, water and then, trying to revive it. My biggest fear would not be the drying out of the pipe, but just making sure that, if you're in the, brackish water of the, Gulf Coast, to make sure there's nothing, creeping around in that pipe. So, I think if you cleaned it out really good, you'd be, and then let it dry, certainly let it dry. I think you'd be in good shape.
All right. Well, there you go. Great question, Daniel. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week that you'd like to send us in, please do so at show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, man. Quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, quick fire questions. Of course, brought to us by awesome t-shirts available soon at From the Country Squire.
That's right.
Sometime soon, actually.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
definitively
and
next week.
And this time we mean it.
Definitively next week. Definitively next week.
That's right.
I'm going to speak it into existence.
Yep.
All right, quick fire questions.
Name it and claim it. Yep.
Here we go. These are actually from Stephen Mario Joseph Cardello. And this is what SMJC has for us. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
Okay. IPA or a stout?
9 times out of 10, IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting to where I enjoy some stouts, but yeah, I like a like that kind of bitiness of the IPA and a little crisper beer, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be as cold as it is right now for me to drink a stout.
Yeah.
And so today I might choose stout.
Yeah.
But overall, IPA.
No, it's good.
Bourbon or rye?
I'm going to go with bourbon. There are ryes that I've found that I really enjoy, but I think on average I like the sweetness of a bourbon.
Yeah, that's I've been on a rye kick lately.
Yeah.
I love bourbon. Obviously, like bourbon is generally well scotch. All right, so the question is, if you put in front of me my favorite bourbon, which at the moment used to be Buffalo Trace, but at the moment is Old Soul from Cathead.
Yeah, one of our local distillery here.
Yes.
Yeah.
More on them next week. And then if you put that in front of me, and then my favorite rye, which for the moment is actually Bullet Rye, which I don't like Bullet Bourbon, but I like their rye.
Yeah, me too, actually.
What am I going to choose?
Roll the dice.
All right. Bourbon. I'll go with bourbon.
Yeah, on average, probably would. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can be on kicks, though, right? I mean, we go on a rye kick occasionally.
Yeah, I'm on a rye kick. But that's the thing. I'll be off the rye kick. I'll never get off the bourbon. High church service or contemporary?
So, you know, this is a question, you know, for me as an Anglican, I have to go with high church. Yeah.
Yeah, so high church, I mean, kind of for those uninitiated.
For those that maybe aren't familiar with Christianese, you know, we're talking about like a very liturgical worship service that, you know.
Roman Catholic carryover?
I mean, you know, it has more of the, you know, smells and bells, right? That kind of idea. And versus, you know, maybe more modern contemporary. I don't know. I'm a sucker for a good liturgy. I might have to go with high church.
Okay, all right. If those are the two options, I'll go with high church because I'm not a huge fan of contemporary. Now, that being said, you know, we're about to be visiting new churches and everything. And
yeah, in your new hometown.
That's right. And the one that we're leaning towards is kind of more of a contemporary style.
Yeah.
But having grown up, like, I always associate kind of the classical, you know, high church with Christmas because growing up.
Well, the midnight services and that kind of stuff. You know?
Well, yeah. That, but then also my family's Catholic in Baton Rouge. And so every single Christmas we would go to Mass. And so that was always kind of part of it. So between the two, I would kind of go there.
Yeah.
There are some contemporary styles. Should I tell this story? I think I am going to tell this story.
Okay.
When we were visiting a church in Jackson, I won't name the church. This was a while back. So it's not a new church. So this is a while back. We were visiting the church. My wife and I go in. They give us, like, you know, our orange mocha frappuccino.
Yeah.
And they have us sit down.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the very, I mean, just textbook, like, flashing lights and skinny jeans. Pointing to my tattoo to show you I have a pass. All of that. That when it came time, for communion, I didn't partake because I was like, after the sermon and everything, I was like, I have no idea what these people believe. I have literally no idea.
Yeah,
what
maybe
these
I'll
people
wait
believe.
Till next time.
Yeah. So I do like a little bit more of a guided sermon series with which, you know,
that's good.
The liturgy is always a fan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, to each his own, but yeah. I'm a sucker for the other. Yeah.
All right. So I should also say not judging anybody.
To
who
each
prefers
his own.
The,
yeah, to each his own.
Contemporary stuff.
Yep.
That
I
is
agree.
Very in. It's
I
very
agree.
Contemporary.
It is.
Send your emails to, no, I'm just kidding.
Right, to John David.
To John David. Long unruly beard or short trimmed beard?
I'm going to go with a short trimmed beard or maybe a long trimmed beard. But yeah, if I had to pick between the two, there's something about like having your beard kind of kept.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, that it drives me crazy when my beard gets kind of
itchy,
scraggly. And I don't know. I just I kind of feel like a caveman. It's like, well, if I'm going to have a beard, I'm, you know, even if it's a big beard, like, let's trim it up.
All right. So I prefer the short trim beard. I'm not good at maintaining that. And so I end up with a kind of medium scraggly thing, which is unfortunate, but I would prefer to wear
Georgia. And your face looks like a Brillo pad.
All right, Stephen. Excellent quickfire questions. We'll have more from Stephen in the coming weeks as well. He sent us a nice little list
That's
here.
That's great. Yeah.
And hey, if you got some quickfire questions, send them in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, man. I got to read this from Portland Paul.
Yeah.
He says, dude, I'm, quote, low church all the way every week, high church on holidays.
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of a similar experience for you.
Yeah. That's probably, you know, for one thing, the whole high-low thing, I'm not too keen on that terminology in general because of what's implied. However,
it kind of makes one sound better than the other.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So I get that.
Only using those categories as point of reference as was presented in the quickfire questions.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
But yeah, not meaning to down the quote unquote low church and not even necessarily meaning to down the contemporary church. Although I input necessary in there, so take that for what you will. man, got a great chat going on the YouTube as well. Toby Spry saying, if Country Squire would do a $100 mystery box, would you want John David or Bo to pick your backy? He says, I would want one from both.
Oh, wow.
You would want John David Cole to pick your tobacco.
$100 mystery box?
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah.
Should we do that sometime?
We better have some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Man.
Legally speaking, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Blue Dog says, greetings and happy Mardi Gras. We're remiss for not saying happy
Mardi Gras.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, no, this week is the beginning of Lent.
Don't give up alcohol for Lent because we got a drink from my last episode.
Yeah, no, you don't worry about that. Yeah, right. I tried that a few years ago. That was pretty difficult.
Yeah, that's never good.
And it was good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, repentance and all that other stuff too. Yeah.
I'm giving up sweets this year. That's the game plan. But
that's good.
Also, let's see. Road Glide Sully says, afternoon from Texas. Shout out to Texas.
Oh, that's good.
All right, now this is interesting. So we got maybe some conflicting thoughts here. So Ron Hardcracker Ward says, John, the pipes with the hinged cover is sometimes known as a hurricane pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
Says, mine is pretty handy if you want to smoke a pipe while driving with the top down on the highway.
Yeah.
Now, our very own Pappy Joe chimes in and says, the pipe with the hinged cover are actually called hunters and originated in the Austrian and Bavarian areas of Europe.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see those as you know, Bavarian pipes or whatever. But yeah, I think that both those are great points. Yeah,
interesting. All right, so they have been referred to as both.
Yes,
from that standpoint.
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know, with pipe, you know, stuff. We've got folks that will call, gosh, there's like a, you know, people will refer to it as a Hungarian pipe versus an umpal and all this other kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, everyone's got their own verbiage. But yeah, these pipes have been around a long time and have just a great tradition, you know, particularly because they're so practical. Portland Paul also mentions, you know, we talk about just kind of the, you know, figuring out over the next few months here where some of this stuff is going as far as our live show goes. The live show in some form will be around. We're going to get that worked out. You know, we don't anticipate it staying in a place for terribly long.
Oh, no.
Where people, you know, are going to, you know, not be able to participate or whatever. But he does say, Facebook Live makes me sad because I do not have a Facebook account. Despite how much I love you guys, I have my boundaries. Brother, we're smelling what you're stepping in.
Yeah, no,
I'm with you, dude. Yeah, so don't fret. This is, we hope, is a temporary thing.
The way that Facebook, from like the way that they've structured themselves, that they want to compete in the video market, it's very interesting. I mean, this has nothing to do with pipe tobacco at all, but I could get into
it. But let's go, you know, to the future of kind of the format and everything. So
yeah,
that's fair.
Well, so you know, they clearly want to be a player, not like media player. I mean, well, they do want to be a media player, but they want to be like an industry player, so to speak.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, and especially if you look at the amount of time spent viewing video on Facebook and then compound that with the amount of time that the average person spends looking on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of this, it's this beast that's kind of hard to fight. Now that being, well, because of that, they're able to tailor their market where they require you to have an account to get into the content, which is very frustrating. For a number of reasons, for exactly the reason that you mentioned Portland, because, you know, folks like you, folks like, honestly, me, if I didn't have this company, I would not be on Facebook. I don't like Facebook, but the only way to stream that content is through a Facebook account. They won't allow us to embed the player, at least at this point, onto our website, which is the preferred method of how I would, you know, enjoy people to get the content, is actually go to countrysquireradio.com, view the player from that standpoint. What I like about YouTube is it makes it open and you're able to do that. There are other opportunities and there are other things available. One thing that we could potentially explore, if it's all right, I'll just pull the curtain back completely here.
Sure, it's great.
You know, one thing that we could look at completely exploring is not going live and going pre-recorded, in which case we can then upload the video to several platforms, including YouTube, very easily. But you wouldn't get the live experience, which, to be honest, is kind of the main reason why we do it.
Kind of the point.
Exactly.
For us. I mean, we're a podcast first, but we do this, you know, the live recording because we get to interact with y'all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's a large part of it. There are other services that I've used in the past. For example, there is a service called Mixlr, which is an audio-only streaming service that we've used for Flash TV Talk and some other shows, but primarily that one. And the nice thing about that one is there's a chat that you can kind of go back and forth on. But again, the trade-off is that you don't have the embeddable nature of it, where people could just go to countrysquireradio.com, click play, and then go about their business without having to worry about anything. That's really what I prefer to do. I'd prefer to have something of that nature.
Yeah. Well, more down the road. But
I'm sorry. It's getting highly technical.
Don't fret.
Yeah, All that to say, we're very much thinking about this, and we're very much like it's a priority. We will not disappear off the face of the live planet, so to speak.
Yeah.
Also, man, we got a we also got a review on iTunes from Great Barcia.
Yeah, he says, great program. Been listening to this podcast as a new pipe smoker and really enjoy it. It's been great listening to interviews and I feel more knowledgeable. Thank you for the great podcast, great products from the store. Rivendell and Second Breakfast have been two of my favorite blends to enjoy. Man, very, very kind. Thanks to Great Barcia. We appreciate you, brother.
All right. Well, hey, and if you've got some feedback for us, let us know via the iTunes reviews. Those are a great way to help let folks know that you enjoy the show. Head over to iTunes, write us a review. Also, if you want to help this show financially, we need it. Please do. Head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you can support the show. You can join the club. You can become a patron. There's a lot of great perks for if you do. If you're a club member, for example, you get access to our Squire Lounge Online closed group that we would love for you to be a part of. Or if you just want to be a patron, that's cool too. You get full access to our first 100 episodes that are exclusive to you, exclusive to patrons of Country Squire Radio. Again, that's patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Also, you can keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on the Twitters at Squire Radio, or me, I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
And all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. All right, man.
Had fun, man. Yeah, it was good. Talking about windshield pipes.
Yeah, man.
Kind of makes me want to go get one.
Shielding the wind. I know. I'm on this whole Luke Skywalker thing, though. I really do think that would be a cool pipe. I kind of want to take the image that I showed you and that I posted out on Twitter and mock it up through like Photoshop as a metal pipe and just kind of put it out there in the ether and let some amazing artisan make it so that then I can buy it. It'd be amazing. All right, man. Well, I think that's going to do it for us, right?
Yeah, man. Next week's going to be fun.
Hey, it's going to be a blast.
Eat some breakfast next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Scotch in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
You want something on your belly.
Yeah. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com. Thank you.